Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, and I am your fearless leader today. I'm sitting in for Jane Mattenair, who is on vacation right now, and we wish her the best and the most relaxing time ever. If you want to get in touch with us, if you want to get talking to us, if you want to contribute to the conversation, you can call us and or text us 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can leave a comment on the live stream, which is going up right now. Folks, we have a wonderful, wonderful guest for you today. She is going to be here the entire show, the entire first hour this morning. You see her on the live stream if you are watching right now. She is the the hostess with the mostest, the most amazing Granny Bingo herself, Esther Filonez.
Greg.
Esther.
It's a pleasure.
It's great to
have being here with you this morning.
I can tell you're overflowing with excitement.
Very. I'm loving wearing makeup this early.
You texted me this morning and said, great, dragon.
I sure did.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, I'm used to the morning news, being on the morning news early. So, but I don't think anyone should be wearing this much makeup except if you're someone on Good Morning America, for crying out loud.
Oh, there you go. Well, I am glad you put the makeup on today, and I am glad you joined us. We have been talking about this for a while. We wanted to get you on the show. We wanted to talk about all the fantastic things you do as Granny Bingo.
Yes.
That is your nickname, correct?
I would say that's just more of my brand.
Ah, got you. Because really, if anybody knows Esther Filonez, they know you from one great thing, and that is your ubiquitous name throughout the state as far as doing drag bingo.
Absolutely.
You do shows all over the place.
All over the place. It started, embarrassingly, it started at Real Chili in Milwaukee. So
folks,
if anyone
folks
in
living
Milwaukee,
outside the southwest, southeastern Wisconsin area.
Real Chili.
Imagine George Webb's, but for chili.
Right. That food that you need after bar close. You've had a few. You need something heavy to absorb all of that alcohol. This is the place for you.
And then you go the next morning, you're like, why did I do any of that last night?
You regret it. You instantly regret it.
So you started doing, so let's actually, before we get there, let's back up completely to the beginning. You told me that this all came from the fact that you went to school to UWM, right?
Right.
And you go Panthers. I'm a Panther as well.
Yeah, for sure.
I owe them no more money.
You went to UWM?
I did.
Did I know that? I don't think I knew that.
I keep all of my secrets.
Major?
Closest. Political science and law studies.
Of course it was.
Because yeah. Nice. I'm a nerd.
Of course.
But you went for theater, right?
I did.
So, and I know a lot of people who went to school for theater, and I feel like the unifying, whether it's joke or belief is, well, I have a theater degree, now
yeah.
what?
So it is very intimidating, I think, because it's a very hard industry to be in from the get-go. So, I mean, I don't think that's your first choice when you go to, well, it's definitely not your parents' first choice for you. Okay. Your parents want you to be a lawyer,
a doctor,
surgeon, anything that would make them money so they can retire and live wealthy the rest of their lives because they're just taking their kids' money. No, but acting, I think, has always been, well, theater and arts in general have always been in my blood. My family is very artistic.
Okay.
So I think it felt right being creative growing up. I was involved in choirs a lot and little theater productions in like Catholic grade school. Mm-hmm. Catholic grade school.
I was in those too.
St. Margaret Mary, word. But yeah, so I think it was just destined for me to do this. I just didn't know what I was going to do with the degree.
Yeah.
And for a long time, I just ended up working retail job after I mean, that's basically what an actor's life is, isn't it? Working Whole Foods and then working at Aldi and then working at a warehouse. Like, I just thought this was going to be it.
Yeah.
And then I took a chance and I attempted to start a YouTube channel with this character. And I think people just caught on to what I was doing. And then I ended up at La Cage, and then next thing you know, I'm in a competition talent drag show, and then I win the drag show, and then I mean, that's really how it started, honestly.
So what? So for those who don't know, for those, you know, we're taking a deep dive into drag culture at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday.
Mm.
Come on, folks, take the journey. Mm.
The journey.
What is the development of a character? How do you look at that process from, like, you know, like you see, especially today, how long have you been doing it now?
Like 8 years.
So you started doing it probably before it like exploded. Like there was still Drag Race. Oh, that was still happening.
Yeah. Like Drag Race was still streaming on Logo. So it wasn't like directly on TV. So you had to go and find it.
Yeah.
Because I just remember as it started, it was hard for me to watch it because I didn't know where to watch it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't on mainstream TV. Whereas now it's like on VH1 and it's like on MTV and all mm-hmm. that. So it's a lot easier to access. But starting back then, I think was way different than now, because now I think drag is on this higher platform.
Yes.
Whereas like when I was growing up, I felt the only place you could see drag was either if you went to the bar, if you went to Pride Fest,
mm-hmm.
like that was really the only outlet I had to drag, basically.
Yeah.
You were talking about inspiration. I think it's different for me because when I was aspiring to be, you know, a comedian, actor, I was watching Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. I was heavily influenced on like Chris Farley and Adam, the greats, obviously. Adam Sandler, David Spade, Chris Farley, all of that. So I think they're the ones.
Rob Schneider.
Oh, God. All of them.
Yeah.
Like, just Saturday Night Live was my pleasure, I guess, would you say, like watching it late at night on TV, being inspired by all those famous skits. I mean, that's really what got me into doing performance, I think. So that's really what set it off. But as far as like drag went, I guess I didn't want to do drag. Like that wasn't the goal.
No.
Like the goal was to be a performer. So mm-hmm. drag just became that outlet to do that.
It became part of your resume, if you will. It was like you could act, you could be funny, you could also do drag if you want. But now it seems like when people go to do it, this is what they want to do. This is their career they have chosen.
Basically, yeah.
And I for better or for worse, I when someone releases a comedy record or a special on Netflix or Amazon, then that probably inspires 50 people to go try stand up,
and they're
like, well, I'm going to do stand up now. Well, it's not as
easy as it seems.
Yeah, there's work to get to put in.
I definitely feel like that's a big thing with drag too. I think a lot of people are doing it not for like the same reasons as like the people who started earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't want to get anyone angry at me, but I just feel like a lot more people are trying drag because they're seeing it more now, so they're like, oh, maybe I can do this, maybe I can dance around in a dress I bought online and lip sync to Diana Ross. Like, well, I shouldn't say Diana Ross because the kids are listening to other things. They probably don't even know what a Diana Ross is.
Spoken like a true grandma,
right?
I mean, I think that goes to for really any art form, though. I think any art form will spawn the people who, you know, I'm just going to use this.
Yeah.
The RuPauls. The RuPaul is the most famous drag star probably in the world.
Yeah.
And that has inspired a level that is now famous.
Oh, yeah.
And then that level inspires below them and then so on and so forth.
But, yeah.
But I have to imagine, and just like in comedy or in music, you learn pretty quickly that unless it's a fantastic opportunity that's out of nowhere, it's not like you put the makeup on and then next week you have a show or you have a sold out event at a venue. It's
right.
You're starting. It's like comedy in the sense like you start as a host or a guest set and you
or work. like a guest appear. Like, so like I said, I started when I at like Real Chili, and then I did This Is It with another local drag star, Chanel Devine. Chanel, hi. We started doing it at This Is It together.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like my gateway into doing bingo. So I definitely started as like someone's co-host.
Yeah.
Did that for a while. And then I had to build myself up and make myself known and present. Mm-hmm. And I think that's honestly the reason why I'm so around today, is because I had to start from the very bottom and build my way up. Like, yeah. I wouldn't take back any of the 8 years that I started.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm at a really great place now. I think it's just, you have to put in the work if you want to see the success.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt that you have to want it. You have to be hungry for it. You have to sacrifice for it.
And that's not everybody. You can see it's not in everybody. Like, there are people that have the flame under their butt that want to do it. And then you have the people that are just doing it because they want to joke around and have fun for one night and get free drinks, when that's really not the premise of the whole thing.
Yeah. We're going to talk more about the taking the character and the, you know, the culture into the bingo world. And then after that, we're going to talk about some other things that you wanted to discuss with regard to with politics and perception and whatnot.
Just a little taste.
But we absolutely invite you to, we invite you to join the conversation, to call us, to text us, 855-752-4842. That is 855-75-CIVIC. You can also download the free Civic Media app at your favorite app store of choice, and then you can text or call the show through the app itself. And then also, and if you just want to email us, it's janesays@civicmedia.us. Once again, janesays at civicmedia.us. If you have any questions, we hopefully will have Dr. Hanks on. She's in surgery right now, so hopefully she'll be on the show at 11:30. So any questions for public service announcement, send those via email or text, and we'd love to hear from you. More to come with Esther Flonase. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'll be sitting in for Jane for the rest of this week, as well as next week, as she is on vacation. You can always call or text the show, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Feel free to leave a comment on the live stream. We got Andrew in Maine making a very good point as to my discussion earlier, which is, I said it's very early. It's 10 a.m. on Wednesday, and we're talking about drag. He said, is there a better time to take a deep dive into drag than when you're awake? I agree. And then Tony says it's free. I don't know what's free, Tony. Is it all free? Is the world free? Are we free? We'll find out. But let's keep the conversation going with our good friend Esther Flonase. I forgot to tell you this. It's Jennifer Coolidge's birthday today.
Nuh-uh.
It is. And for those who don't know, Esther does a fantastic Jennifer.
Oh, God. You look like the 4th of July.
There it is.
Makes me want a hot dog real bad.
Happy birthday.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's funny.
I heard that today and I was like, oh, I've got
to. Oh, my gosh. Well, that's, I mean, happy birthday, Jennifer Coolidge.
So the question I have for you is, you know, when we think of drag, we, at least in the 5-10 years ago, we think drag race, we think big performance, right. We think dancing, lip syncing, the whole thing. But you, as well as others, have taken the culture into something I would say very relatable, at least on a Midwestern level, which is bingo.
Yeah.
And you host drag bingo events all over the state.
All over.
You are always working. This is a full-time job for you.
It is. It has become, I mean, like I said, never would ever think that I'd be doing something that I am loving to do, like what I'm passionate about doing as a full-time job.
Yeah.
I literally thought I was going to be pouring toxic chemicals into plastic bottles and shipping them to school, like gym floor finish and things like that. I literally thought I was going to be doing that for the rest of my life. And then as this started picking up, I just took it. I took a chance.
Yeah.
Like, that's really what it's about. You take a chance, you do something you're passionate about, and you hope that it's going to work out. And I've been very fortunate to build my own business with this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a dream.
That's, I love this. I love this story. So take us to when it first started.
Oh,
you
boy.
You talked about Real Chili. You talked about This Is It, which for those who don't know, This Is It is, I believe it's Wisconsin, if not Milwaukee's oldest gay bar.
Yes.
And
Midwest.
And it was, it has a beautiful history to it of, you know.
And a dark one.
Yes. It's a beautiful history.
I don't want to say his name on the air, but he rhymes with Heffrey Hammer.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it does have a deep history within the culture of how it existed.
Yes.
So, but tell us how you got into bringing this to bingo.
Oh boy. So, I mean, I'm just going to start by saying that I first did drag when I was in preschool, if we're really going to go there, because I recall wearing a veil over my head and wearing high-heeled shoes and going out to my cubby. And I went to a preschool where there were, it was a senior citizen home and a preschool. So I just remember senior citizens walking back and forth, and one stopped and said, I guess I'm going to talk like Jennifer Coolidge. Oh, look at that beautiful little girl. Oh, and her nurse was like, that's a boy. So that's where the first experience of mine came from.
Yeah.
So if you really wanted to know that, okay, that was back in like 1806.
Oh yeah. Right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh yes.
But then, first drag as an adult was, doing drag and went to the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a Milwaukee staple.
A rite of passage.
At the Landmark, not Landmark, that's next door.
The Oriental. Yeah.
I mean, I would go to Landmark after.
Of course.
So like I said, I was trying to do a YouTube channel with this persona because I was creating a character to play more so than anything. It was just playing this older, I started off as an old New York Jewish woman. And then I came up with the story that I was born Sicilian. So then when my Jewish husband passed away, see, I'm going through my whole character background with you. I just tried to do a character on YouTube first. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Lacage, did that drag show where it was just lip syncing, mm-hmm. won that. And I think that's what got me the exposure in the Milwaukee LGBT community to start. And then I did bingo at This Is It with my co-host. And then her and I did it for a while. And I think as we built that, I just decided to start taking it more on my own because this was an older woman character. And I just think you put bingo and older woman together.
It works.
And I took that and that's what I went with. And I started, I think the big thing was when I emailed Lakefront Brewery for the first time. I just did a out of nowhere email.
Yeah.
And I emailed, I didn't even know who I was emailing. I wasn't talking to Dylan or Mike. I just threw an email out there saying, hey, I do this bingo thing. Would you guys be interested in hosting a bingo night at Lakefront Brewery? And then I get this email back saying that they're interested. And then here we are.
How many years later?
Seven. I have to say it's been 7 years.
Oh my gosh. So that is how Esther
I'm pretty
and I met.
Sure.
Was at Lakefront Brewery through Drag Bingo. I am her co-host when we do the shows. The next one's on September the 10th. I will be the co-host. I'm the one who helps like read the cards and pass out prizes. And we have banter between each of us. And it's really great. It's really a lot of fun. Come on down. But that experience is so fun. And it's just a good time. And but that is one of many shows you do now. Like,
But I'm saying like Lakefront was definitely the one I think that took it to the top. And that's what got me most exposure. Like now I'm doing bingos in places that I never, and I'm emphasis on the never would ever think of doing bingo, like in Oconomowoc and in Horicon, like and all of those northern places that you just would not think. But it, see, when I do something like this, I'm telling people that this is just for fun.
Yeah.
It's fun and entertainment. There's nothing to it. I call balls, you win prizes, you win money. Like, that's really all I'm doing, is bringing entertainment and light and happiness to people. That's my goal. That's always been my goal.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happens. I watch these shows happen and people are having a blast. They're having a really good time. And you went to HorrorCon. Shout out to Sherry, one of our listeners in HorrorCon. She listens to the show.
Hey.
Yeah. And so if you ever go back up there, she can definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely see you.
That's
perform.
Fun.
And I think, and we're going to talk about this on the other side of the break, is one of the reasons why you might not feel super duper comfortable going to certain places in this state, is because of what's been going on of the past year and a half. So we're going to talk more about that when we come back. It's going to take a little bit of time, but we're going to make something positive out of it.
Yeah.
We want to have a good discussion.
No, we want something positive.
With someone who is in the culture and in the field of what the topic is based upon. We are talking to Esther Flones, who's our guest co-host this morning from 10 to 11. And you can always call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. Get in touch. Be a part of the conversation. Right now, you are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away. Stay close. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation right now. We wish her nothing but the most relaxing of vacations. And we want to welcome you back to the show. If you want to get in touch with us, you can give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream, which we are on Facebook, as well as YouTube and Twitter, because this house still calls it Twitter. And you can also get in touch with us calling and texting by downloading the Civic Media app. It's very simple. Go to your app store of choice, download it. It is a free, and you can use that to get in touch with us via calling or texting. So do that. Either way, just get in touch with us. We want to hear from you. And I'm sure that our guest wants to hear from you too. And our guest is the incomparable Esther Flones, AKA Granny Bingo. And we've been talking for the first few segments about your history, a little bit about drag culture and how you got drag culture into the bingo world.
And Jennifer Coolidge.
And Jennifer Coolidge. Happy birthday, Miss Coolidge.
Oh, God.
Calvin, you did have a question, though, for Esther. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah. So the last segment I played.
I can't hear him. Oh, is it?
Yeah, so you got to put your headphones on here.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Hold on one second.
That'll do it, Esther.
Put it on so I can hear you.
There you go.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so the last segment I played Chapel Roan. She is a big pop star right now. Her character identifies as a drag queen, but she is a woman. So this is from an ignorance standpoint, but a curiosity. What do you need to be a drag queen? Who can be a drag queen? What constitutes
that's such a
great question?
A good question. Okay, well, it started. So I guess when we all learned about, so when everyone learns about drag, it obviously stems back to man dressing as a woman for entertainment purposes.
Correct.
Very different than. Would say it like a transvestite or anything like that. It's very different because this is performance value. Like this is all about performance, stemming back to like William Shakespeare, you know, him writing plays, men playing women in his plays. That's where it all really began.
Kabuki theater.
Right. Yeah. Kabuki, all of that. So that's where it basically stemmed from. So I think as time has gone on, the idea of drag has just become more of like the hyper feminization aspect of it. So technically anybody can do drag because it is the art of, like I said, hyper feminization, wearing big lashes, wearing dramatic makeup. That is essentially what drag has become. Like the like we're talking about RuPaul. Like RuPaul, if you look at RuPaul, RuPaul is a statuesque, gorgeous, just a gorgeous human being. Mm-hmm. Like even in, I mean, in drag, he looks like he looks better than what's her name from America's Next Top Model,
Tyra Banks.
Yeah, Tyra Banks. So that's, I think, who RuPaul is. But like nowadays, I think in that instance that you were talking about, she's going with the idea that drag is hyper feminization, theatrical, you know, big costumes, big hair, you know, eyelashes, all of that. So I would just say when she identifies as a drag queen, it's more of like, it's the performance aspect of it. Like she goes very dramatic with her performances and wants to wear big hair and, you know, dramatic makeup and stuff like that. But like early on, I mean, drag was just looked at solely as man dressing as woman, but I think it's definitely expanded as time has gone on.
It's evolved for what it's become.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes sense. That's a great question.
A really great question.
And the thing too is, and I know very little about, I know the culture, and as much as I know you, I've gone to drag shows. I enjoy them. I'm not so much into the reality show aspect, but I know there's been controversy over, you know, can women do drag? Can transgender people do drag?
Yeah.
And trying to hold it to this notion of men do drag and men only do drag.
Right.
And I feel like that's starting to break down because, like, it's all just fun.
Right.
It's all about what you're talking about, this look, this style, and this feeling.
Aesthetic. You on stage. It's an aesthetic.
Yeah. It's what you go on stage with rather than what you have when you take the makeup off.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very important distinction to make. And I think it's important for people who've been doing it for 10 years and longer to make that understanding that, like, you can't gatekeep those sort of things. If a young girl wants to do drag, then let her do drag or drag king stuff.
Well, and are there performers that try to? Yes, there are older drag queens out there that think it should be one thing and one thing only.
Yeah.
But I think as a community, we as a whole are embracing new upcoming talent, even if it is like on Drag Race this recent time, there was a straight man.
Yeah.
On Drag Race. Straight men can do drag. Mm-hmm. There are tons of straight men who do drag. Like, and you were saying transgender women and men, they can do drag too. It's just, it's become an art style as time has progressed.
Yeah.
So I think anyone nowadays, I personally believe that anyone nowadays can do it if they so choose, because it is literally the performance aspect of it.
Now let's talk about, you know, I mentioned it earlier. You said that might not feel the safest in certain parts of the state. And I understand why, of course. I understand your trepidations. And it's because simply, well, let's just say, the right has weaponized your art form, your culture, into some sort of ethereal threat to children.
Right.
And so you've been doing it for about 8 years now.
Yeah.
When did you start to see the shift from the people who would clutch pearls and be like, I don't really like that, to you are endangering our children? Those sorts of baseless claims that are absolutely
heinous,
not the case. Heinous, hateful, disgusting, so on and so forth. When did you start to see that shift, and how did that like affect you as both a person as well as a performer with, let's on a business level, a brand to uphold?
Okay, so I don't think there was ever really a progression into that. It was very abrupt.
Yes. Okay.
Because I recall days, I think pre-COVID, where it was, you know, women wanted to go out and go to Hamburger Mary's and see shows, and it was just a fun thing for people to do, you know, go to drag bars, go to gay bars and see drag. Like, it was just a fun, maybe even taboo thing to do. Like, people would be like, oh, this is scandalous, whatever. But then there was just this abrupt change where people were given the idea and given the voice to be outspoken about what it is and how it is being detrimental to our society, when it's like, where is what has changed here? Like, what, where are you getting this idea from all of a sudden?
Yeah. And
I mean, it's a personal question that I still ask.
In general, my immediate thought is personally, is that they're threatened by the quote unquote other living a life of comfort and happiness, being who they are and comfortable in their own skin, and being threatened by that. So they create a problem, and there is no greater, I guess you'd say, bargaining chip in that sort of creation than children. And and by them saying, oh, it's for the children, it's about the children. But they also feel like, well, because I said the children, that's it, game over, I win, because the children are the most important
thing. Vulnerable.
But then when we dig deeper into that conversation, of course, we're saying, well, if you care so much about children, why don't you take care of school lunch programs? Why don't you care about education? Why don't you care about funding teachers?
Way more important things.
Well, it's the thing is, like, you care about children, but you don't care about children's safety in schools. You don't care about children and developing and learning correctly. But this one innocuous thing, this drag queen threat.
Reading literally Where the Wild Things Are to kids is the most insulting thing. It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I once heard someone compare a drag queen reading to a child as child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is the most heinous, ugly thing that anybody could say. I don't know where in any part of your brain that tells you that this is equivalent to that. I'm shocked that people say things like that.
Well, and so I want to play a clip in a moment here, but I want to preface it by saying what Esther does at Drag Bingo, at least when I'm there at Lakefront, what we do together for the show, it is an adult theme show.
Correct.
I would say it's R-rated. I would say you could probably bring your older teenager to it.
We make that known.
Yeah. We tell them that
there's a poster outside, and Greg tells people every time before we start, at least 40 minutes before we start, Greg will make the announcement that this is not for kids. Mm-hmm. And that is up to the parents' discretion if they want to stay or if they want to leave.
Yeah. And that is different than a drag reading, a drag story hour, of course, because you're reading to children.
Right.
But Calvin, I want to play this clip from Fox News when they just became befuddled by a drag story time hour.
Yeah. I'm not only concerned about the double standard, but we're talking about kids that are ages. This event was ages 3 to 9 years old, and they're talking about these drag queens. It's just so much, Jackie. And parents, why can't they control and be the primary drivers of what their kids get to experience?
A lot of parents want to be, and they're not comfortable with it. And when you have a conversation about these events, you have to take into account what happened in Florida, for example. It was branded as "Don't Say Gay" by, you know, the bill by Ron DeSantis there. It really wasn't about that. It wasn't about gay or lesbian or anything else. It was just about the fact that parents should have some input on the curriculum and what their children are learning in school.
Now, there's two things about that. First of all, I want to just applaud Jason Chaffetz, former, I believe, Utah congressman, now Fox News, quote-unquote, analyst, being so befuddled and I just don't know what to do. And then them talking about the fact that, you know, it should be up to the parents. It is up to the parents.
It is.
That's why we make the announcement. We tell you ahead of time, this is like we would, like for a comedy show that wasn't even, a comedy show in general is not a place you bring a child to.
Right.
And we make that known. This is an 18 and older show.
Right.
Please use discretion. We have certain safeguards as far as we will only let people of a certain age in, but it is on you. If you don't want your kid going to Drag Bingo, you absolutely don't have to take them there. If you don't want your kid to go to a drag story hour, you don't have to take them. You are completely within your power. But then that's what I want to talk about, though, is then they want to shift the conversation from a drag story hour to, well, we need to know what these kids are learning in school then. And then they move that conversation to CRT. So I feel like they're using what you do as a jumping off point to get to this agenda of driving their message, which someone, Joshua listening in WXCO right now said, the Republicans don't want the people educated. If they are, they might know their rights and not vote for them. So it's about controlling the issue and controlling the message. And that's what they're doing with this. But it's harming you.
Yeah. It's putting a bad, like just a really dark rain cloud over what I'm trying to do. And what I tell people that I am trying to do is entertain. Do I know when to turn it off? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I do a lot of things in front of kids. And me personally, I know when I should put that filter on and when I can say more risque things in front of adults. Like I know what my limits are. And I will look at the audience prior to me performing and I will make sure that what I do is responsible. So for someone telling me that they don't think I'm responsible when they don't know who I am and don't have that good of judgment to be like, okay, well, I shouldn't swear because I'm in front of kids. Like I know when not to do that. So I think I would hope that people would just trust me as an adult to know when and not to do that. Now that might be different other places. Like I think like what we were saying is that I think a parent should have the responsibility to see something and be like, okay, well maybe this isn't something I should bring my kids to.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about it further when we come back to the other side of the break. If you want to become part of the conversation, you can certainly do that by calling 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us, call us, same number. You can leave a comment on the live stream. Either way, get in touch with us, be a part of the talk. And we'd love to have you come back at the other side of the break. Go get some water, stay hydrated. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation, hopefully having a good time and relaxing. We are talking to Esther Flones, a.k.a. Granny Bingo, the hostess with the mostest, my friend, here talking about drag culture, bingo, the whole thing. We're taking your calls, taking your questions. I did get a text from Jack from Merrimack. Love listening to Jack. Thank you so much for reaching out. He says, I was lucky enough to work for over 40 years in a profession I loved. Mine happened to be teaching. It seems like Esther has found something they love, and I can only wish Esther as a long run as I had. Thank you, Jack. Jack's That's a very, very sweet man, Jack is. And David on the live stream said that to say drag is only for adults is to ignore cherished performers like Robin Williams, who is not only sometimes kid-friendly, sometimes adult-friendly, and sometimes drag. So, I mean, that comment speaks directly to what you're saying is drag has been a part of our life in one way or another for hundreds of years. It's just evolved
in all way part shapes and forms.
And it's just happened to, I feel like it's happened, had a hyper evolution in the day of social media when there's so much access to putting yourself on a screen.
Right.
And the height, as you said, the hyper feminization of the characters, of course they're going to target what you do.
Yeah.
Call it a threat, which I'm sorry, it's just not.
And it's not.
The lack of callers telling me that you are tells me that I feel like a lot of our listeners.
A lot of people know that.
Yeah. And I think it almost feels like an issue where you kind of just go, what?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, why are.
Like, really? This is. See, now David's comment speaks to me because when I try to explain this very point to people, I bring up Robin Williams.
Mm hmm.
Robin Williams has been a part of majority of our lives.
Yeah.
And he has done characters in drag.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably introduced a lot of people to drag. So now my question is, what is he doing that is different from what a performer is doing? A performer is performing just as Robin Williams was performing in a film. So I'm trying to understand why people can't see it that way, where it, for most of us, it is a performance art where we are playing a pretend character for entertainment value. This, like, I think we were going to get into this. This isn't who I am on the streets. Like, this isn't who I am when I go home. When I go home, baby, this wig comes off my head. There's a makeup wipe to my face. I pry these nails off of my natural nails every night, and I sit on my couch and I watch true crime videos on YouTube. That is what I do when I am not in this.
Wait.
This is literally what I do for 3 hours a day and entertain people, get my entertainment in there, and then I go home and it's
relaxation.
Relaxation.
I mean, and I think that the simple answer would be those who agree with what you're saying are going to say, yeah, it isn't different than Robin Williams. Yeah, it isn't a threat to children. Yeah, it's a good time. And yes, parents should absolutely have the right to take their children to an event, even if they're warned it's adult themed, or not do it if they don't like it.
Yeah.
But the people who are, I don't want to say against, the people who start this
rhetoric,
rhetoric, there's nothing you can say. There's nothing that can be shown to them. They're going to say, what about Robin Williams? Well, that was a movie.
Oh, well, perfect example. I was on social media and I was getting into this argument about State Fair with this woman.
Because you do shows.
I did. Yep. That was a major accomplishment is State Fair. And now that opened me up to a lot of different people. Like that exposed me to probably a few wrong people and some of the right people. But I was getting into this argument with this woman who literally just upfront said, well, this is perverted. And I said to her, what about this is perverted? And she did her whole little spiel. And then I brought up, I said, okay, well, now let's talk about Robin Williams. What is Robin Williams doing that is okay for him to put this on, but it's not okay for me to do it? And she said something like, well, that's just pretend. That's just whatever. That's acting. That's just pretending. And I said to her, okay, So what do you think that I'm doing that's not that? And she just was like, yeah, I still think you're perverted.
Then that's all they can go back to. And that's the unfortunate
thing. They're not going to listen. They're not going to take my side. They're not going to hear me out. They're just going to keep believing what they want to believe and just think, well, I don't think it's like that. I think it's horrible for kids. I think it's horrible for society. Like, it's just, if you're not willing to learn, then don't ask.
Yeah. You don't want to be confronted with the truth. So therefore, why get in someone's face about it?
Right.
Have your opinion. It's poisonous and wrong, but
right. Or you literally, your goal in life is just to put people down and to say something opposite of someone else. Like, that's just what you thrive on.
Yeah. Well, in the last few minutes we have left, Esther, how do people get a hold of you, follow you, where you're on social media?
Okay. Oh. So I'm very popular on Instagram. I check it a lot. You can follow me on Instagram.
Okay.
ESTERFLONAZE. Esther Flonase is all one word.
Okay.
I do recommend that people follow me on Facebook. And I also have a Granny Bingo with Esther Flonase Facebook. Mm-hmm. If you join that, that is where my schedule is. I post my schedule every month where I am. So if you really are looking for where I am in the state, anywhere in the state, you can definitely, that is the main resource that you can go to. So Facebook and Instagram are my two of my main socials.
Excellent. Well, if you are in the southeastern Wisconsin area on the 10th of September next month, that's a Tuesday, you can check out Esther Flonase, aka Granny Bingo, as well as me.
Oh, great.
I will be helping out at Lakefront Brewery when we're
maybe
doing
Greg will be dressed as a grandmother.
You've been talking about that for a while. We'll see what happens on that one. But for now, I want to thank you, Esther, for coming by.
Greg, it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Great talking to you, too. I'm glad you shared some time with us today. We got more news coming your way. We're going to be talking about, guess who's in the news again, Calvin?
I shudder to guess.
Yes, that's right. You guessed it. Donald Trump. He made you shudder.
Who? I've never heard of him.
Exactly. So, and then, and we hopefully will have Dr. Laura Hanks with us for public service announcements. She is in surgery right now, so hopefully she'll be ready to go. But stay close with us. We're going to be talking about the news in the next hour. Esther Flonase, thank you so much for being a part of the show. And thank you so much for listening, everybody. We're going to keep it going in the next hour. Stay close. You can get a hold of us, 855-752-4842. Text us, call us, Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.